The fine print of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, signed in October, is now public and in no way calms concerns surrounding environmental safeguards. Tessa Fox has this report.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is signed between 12 nations who make up 40% of the world's global domestic product, and five of these nations are in the top 15 of the world's biggest carbon dioxide emitters. Of the 30 chapters within the TPP agreement, the environment has been granted one for the first time in the history of trade agreements. Before the signing of the agreement, it was promised that it would have enforceable environment standards within it. Though, while all other chapters of the agreement are enforceable, this is not the case for the environment chapter. Dr. Patricia Reynolds, coordinator of the Fair Trade and Investment Network, is concerned there is only one international agreement which is enforceable, the Convention that Protects Endangered Species.
Given that there is an environmental chapter in the TPP, it should be enforceable in the same way as other chapters, and the fact that it's not shows, I think, that there's less of a commitment to having enforceable environmental standards than there is to having enforceable rules about trade.
She says it is disappointing we've ended up with such a weak agreement, with such important topics of the ozone layer, not climate change directly, and marine pollution being mentioned, though only requiring maintenance of existing law. Due to the differing environmental standards across all nations, they were unable to agree on which international agreements to include, with some nations pursuing an argument that trade and environment are separate.
The danger is that if you increase trade and competition between nations without having these commitments to international standards, then you risk a race to the bottom on environmental standards as governments simply compete on the basis of increasing trade and investment and trying to attract investment by reducing environmental standards.
The other issue for the environment within the fine print of the TPP regards investor-state dispute settlements. This clause allows for a single foreign investor to sue the Australian government, for example, if a change in environmental law and process harms investments of a foreign company. Dr. Reynolds says there are many examples of companies arguing that law or policy has harmed their investment, particularly mining corporations.
Right now, the US Lone Pine Mining Company is suing the Quebec provincial government of Canada because it introduced stricter environmental regulation of gas mining. And, of course, that's a very relevant example in Australia because there are many farmers and rural communities in Australia who want stricter regulation, environmental regulation of coal seam gas mining.
Australian Conservation Foundation economist Matthew Rose says if Australia wanted to increase their carbon emissions target, there is possibility that one of these companies would try and sue the Australian government in a secret tribunal if they believed it affected their profits enough.
Watching another country be taken through a secretive legal process where they could be up for millions of dollars in paid-out compensation, it might make another country think twice.
He says it is positive the environment features in the agreement, though it will be concerning if politicians point to it as a new way forward for international environment protection, as there is nothing binding in it.
It's a lot of nice fluffy words, and it's good that delegates were forced to talk about the issues they agreed on and put them in this agreement, but we have to be careful that politicians don't overpromise what the environment chapter can deliver.
Green Senator for Tasmania and spokesperson on trade, Peter Wish Wilson, says the agreement is disappointing as President Obama made a lot of promises that the section would be strong and enforceable, though this hasn't occurred. Senator Wish Wilson is also concerned with the investor-state dispute clauses.
Well, I've had a in-depth Senate inquiry which heard evidence from experts all around the world on whether we need these special ISDS clauses, and the evidence was we don't need them. They add nothing to trade. There's no evidence they add anything to the flow of capital between countries. They only add risk and they reduce our sovereignty as a nation.
The next step for the agreement is for the text to be scrutinised by the Parliamentary Joint Standing Committee on Treaties. Though, seeing as the agreement has already been signed, not a single sentence can be changed. Merely a Parliament vote for or against can be made in order for it not to be passed through legislation.
It's very difficult for politicians to speak out against these deals because, A, we haven't seen the detail, and, B, once they're politicised, the media are reporting them, and it takes a brave politician to oppose a trade deal.
He says these deals are highly flawed considering the process of the agreement is in secret and the government has all the power to sign up on the state's behalf without the public having a say. If the agreement does not pass through Parliament, Senator Wish Wilson says it would not make a difference to the economy due to Australia's already standing unilateral agreements.
So would it be a big deal if we were to fall out of the TPP? You know, my personal view is, from an economic point of view, no, I don't think it would be. And obviously I have, you know, severe concerns around giving corporations special rights to sue sovereign governments.